Yeah, we don't have time for the intro music. I'm sorry. We have to go live right now because we have a guest on hold. We have been celebrating in Chicago the 20th anniversary of Office Space. If anyone has been on the Kennedy, you have seen the sign over the expressway that says, "If you could stop texting, that'd be great." I don't think there's any other meme that is more used than that. And I still can't believe that I have on hold with us right now. And I'm so grateful that he's staying up late with us. Gary Cole joins us. Hi, Gary. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
We're very well. I want to introduce you to my friend and my guest as well in studio, Elliot Serrano, just in case you're wondering who the other voice is chiming in.
Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Great, Mr. Cole. This is a huge honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, we're and my mom is listening because
Hi,
thank you. It's Abuelita. She is watching all of The Good Wife right now, but we'll get to that later because we're talking about Office Space, which is a show that I read earlier today pretty much ruined a lot of people's ability to work in an office. But that's not really the point. Did you have any idea while you were filming this movie that it would have this kind of impact? What was your sense of it?
Well, we knew we were working on something really good and really funny because of Mike Judge, but I don't think anyone had any idea that the impact that the movie would have, or that it would be, you know, around 20 years from now, people would you know, still be talking about it. I never worked in an office myself, so maybe I kind of missed the connection people had to to that culture. But no, we knew it was good, but we were pretty amazed when, you know, the movie kind of broke through and kind of had a life of its own after that.
What I find remarkable and wonderful is that I think the characters people remember the most are you and Stephen Root with the stapler. I really believe that as much as we love Ron Livingston, and of course Jennifer Aniston was in the movie, people identified with your characters the most.
Well, actually, the movie grew out of an animation, actually two short animations that Mike Judge did probably a decade before we shot the movie. And in those animations, the only characters were, in fact, Lumberg and Milton. And that's what he went. That was the beginning of what he had, and then he built the script around that. But the idea he had basically was just Milton, you know, sitting there kind of mumbling to himself, and Lumberg would come in and periodically terrorize him. So those were, you know, those are the two things he had in his head at first. But when I first saw those animations, I, even though they were animated and kind of stylized cartoons, I recognize both of those people. You know, we've all seen those people, and so he made the other characters in the movie really identifiable as well. And I really think that's why, you know, it still lasts as well as it does.
When you say we've all seen those people, and you mentioned a moment ago that you had never actually worked in an office, do you? And I wonder if this goes back to when you were younger. Do you sort of collect people, you know, sort of moments or, you know, ticks that people have, or the sort of sense that you have in the situation?
Well, this, I mean, Lumberg came exactly from this animation. When I saw it, I received the tape before I had my initial audition for it. And when I watched it, it worked so well that I said to myself, I don't believe I can do anything better than that. So I think I'll just do that. You know, and so I went in and basically mimicked it. You know, I'm a halfway decent mimic. And, you know, I think Mike even did the voice for, I know he did the voice for Milton. I'm not sure if he voiced Lumberg in the cut. So I just ripped it off with his permission. And he said, yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's, no wonder he liked it. He did it before I did it. So
Elliot was mentioning on our ride here, and as I said, there is over the Kennedy Expressway, you know, of course.
I heard that. That's wild. Crazy. Yeah.
Elliot was mentioning on our way, what has been great in watching you throughout your career is your chameleon. You know, and I don't know, I don't know whether you're mimicking other people or, you know, for whether it's from Brady Bunch or Talladega Nights, or as I mentioned, The Good Wife, you know, Veep, and you aren't locked into any sort of, you know, you're not, you know, typecast in any way ever.
And no, I've been lucky that way. And I think that that I think really began, came out of Chicago. I spent probably from 1978 through the mid-80s basically doing theater in Chicago, and we did all kinds of different, you know, we did comedy and with drama and everything in between. We did a lot of weird theater, and so I got a chance before I ever started working in front of a camera to do a lot of different kinds of characters. So by the time I had an opportunity to work on some of this stuff, and I've also been very lucky with the material that I've that's come my way, you know, and so, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, just kind of the luck of the draw.
I'm just curious as to what is it, I mean, between your work in drama and your work in comedy, do you find one particularly more challenging than the other?
I never look at them differently. I don't really go about anything differently because I don't, as an actor, I don't consider them. That's to me the difference between comedy and drama is the audience and what they're going through. It's still a character, and it's still, you know, trying to tell the truth of whatever that character is. So whether it's supposed to, you know, make people chuckle or have an impact on people, I don't go about it differently. And that's what I do. That may not be what other people do, but I think that I've kept it simple that way, and it doesn't seem to. Because there's never, when someone's trying to be funny, and I've been guilty of that. That's deadly, because usually if you're trying to be funny and it's not working, there's nothing more not funny than that. And so, you know, I try to stick to the character.
And I don't think people realize that you are from Park Ridge, Illinois, right here. Actually,
I make correction. Oh. I'm from Rolling Meadows.
Really? Everything I've read today. Well, now I'm. Why does it say Park Ridge on so many different pages?
I get because I 30 years ago I said Park Ridge, and I was born in a hospital in Park Ridge, and that's even wrong, I believe.
Lutheran General.
yes, exactly. Okay. And maybe I was, but I never. That's the only time I was in the parameter of Park Ridge.
So. I'm sorry, Mr. Cole, but there goes the rest of the interview. All my questions were pertaining to your growing up in Park Ridge, so we have to stop.
Well, there you go. You know? I don't know a thing about Park Ridge.
I'm teasing. So I had mentioned that when we were on the phone before the show, first of all, that I was going to try to refrain from geeking out, but that's usually not possible for me. I was doing a podcast yesterday. We do a weekly show called The Mincing Rascals, where we tackle the news of the week. And as you might be aware, we have a couple of big stories in Chicago, one of which is the Jussie Smollett case. And Eric Zorn, who writes for the Chicago Tribune, in the podcast said, you know what this reminded me of? There was a movie in the 80s about this guy in the army who he said his wife and daughters were killed by hippies. And I was like, oh my God, Fatal Vision with Gary Cole. And that was even before I knew you were going to be on the show. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was the glasses that made me remember you or what it was, but does that make any sense to you, that sort of correlation that in Eric Zorn's mind, he would remember this TV movie?
Well, I mean, there was certainly a deception of a crime involved. You're talking about Fatal Vision, which was a Joe Wamba book.
Right.
I'm sorry, not Joe Wamba, Joe McGinnis. That was published in 1982, and then NBC did a miniseries in 1984 with Carl Malden, Eva Marie Saint, and Andy Griffith.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. Right.
And that was early in your career.
Was basically the second thing I ever did. I did, on camera. I did a small TV movie a couple years before that. But this was, it was huge for me. I mean, it was, I didn't really believe that I was there. I was, you know, sitting across from these three people who I, you know, grew up on, and there I was sitting around a table reading a script. So it was pretty surreal, but I got a real valuable first experience that actually went very well. And it was, a lot of it was due to those three veterans veteran actors and a really good director.
Yeah, I can't even imagine sitting across from Eva Marie Saint, who, you know, people, if you're not familiar with the name, then perhaps you haven't seen the movie On the Waterfront or North by Northwest.
Right. I mean, she was telling stories about James Dean and how he drove too fast. You know, this is, it was like...
Wow.
Oh, that Jimmy Dean, he would drive too fast. I told him to watch out.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course he did. Gary, would you mind if we took a break for commercial and held you on for a few more minutes? I know that it's late in New York, but we'd love to continue chatting with you,
sure,
if you don't mind. I appreciate that. We are talking to Gary Cole, celebrating the 20th anniversary of Office Space, and I'm geeking out. My mom is, of course, at home panting because she is in the third season of The Good Wife. I told her years ago, Elliot, that this was a great series, and now she's catching up. And then she's like, oh, there's more? There's The Good Fight? Yeah, there's The Good Fight.
Oh, too. Yeah, we keep coming. Yeah,
yeah,
she's going to have plenty to go.
Yeah, no kidding. We've got to talk about that, too. More in a moment. You know what? You can text us or call us 312-981-7200. Join us anytime because this is your conversation. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? We lost some people this week, and we need to sort of play catch-up. Thanks.
Here's the thing. Not only is it funny, Gary Cole, I think there are people who are having a little PTSD on that as well, who have real experiences with their bosses. We are live with Gary Cole. This is Patty Vasquez. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Elliot Serrano joins us celebrating the 20th anniversary of Office Space. And you know, you mentioned that you had never worked in an office. I worked very briefly in a cubicle. My friends tell me that I am unhirable. And I'm not saying it's because of this movie. but there are people who don't do well in an office. I think that...
Well, I can see why. I mean, yeah. I mean, if Lumberg is lurking around, or anyone Lumberg-like, that what you played there, that's probably Lumberg's creepiest moment in the movie, I would say.
I'm just curious. I mean, I'm sure you get this one all the time, but, you know, 20 years later, I'm sure, you know, you have people reading the lines to you. You hear the quotes all the time. You know, you're talking about it. But I've just got to know, what does it feel like being a meme? Because, I mean, they didn't have memes 20 years ago. And now you're...
Well, right. And I'm still a social media dinosaur. You know, I had to go kicking and screaming just to get email. So when I saw that, it just kind of like the circuits in my brain just kind of misfired as I looked at it. It didn't really quite compute. I take a look at it every once in a while, and now they're, I mean, it's for everything. It just kind of keeps rolling with the time. So.
Well, the thing is, they're kind of endless. There isn't just a meme.
Right. No, they're just whatever current affair pops up, there's Lumberg with his giant aviators and his suspenders, you know, commenting on the politics of the day or whatever.
So I will be honest with our listeners. I had to jump back on the phone. I don't always jump back on the phone with our guests, but you know, you put Gary Cole on the line, you're like, I'm gonna talk to him for a minute. And our one of our listeners asks on one of our texts the exact same question I asked, which is, do you ever get a chance to visit Chicago? And you're actually here quite often now. Tell us why.
I was last year. Yeah, I've been doing a recurring role on Chicago Fire. So last year I was in town quite a bit. I did, I think, 9 of the shows last year. And then this year, I didn't come until January because I was still finishing up Veep on HBO, which has finally shot its last episode. So I was there. I was also there for the Polar Vortex, by the way.
Oh, well. That,
lucky me.
Did you boil some water and throw it in the air to turn it into snow, or was that not done on the set?
No, I didn't see that one. Yeah, no, I heard I did. Like, yeah, people like wet their hair and it froze standing up and stuff like that. No, I stayed inside the whole time.
And that's smart. They also ask, this is from the 630, by the way, they want to know if you still have a chance to do theater.
I was going to do a play last March. At Steppenwolf, but I wound up having to bail out of it because our schedule for Veep changed. We had to pause for a year because Julia Louis-Dreyfus had a breast cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so we stopped production. And so my schedule changed, so I was unable to do that. So, but I hopefully will, you know, I'd love to do something again. The last play I did at Steppenwolf was not at Chicago. I was on tour with the Tracy Letts play August Osage County.
All right.
But I haven't done a show in Chicago, I believe, and boy, it's been since 2000, I think.
Well, we're gonna need that to happen. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and that'd be great if you could just come back and do a play.
We'd appreciate it.
Thanks.
There's so many things I want to talk to you about, but for my mom, I have to talk about The Good Wife, and the extraordinary chemistry that you have with Christine Baranski is just delicious, is the only way I can explain it.
She's superb. I did the first season of The Good Wife. I think the first year I did two shows, and then it basically was two or three shows a year for the entire run of the Good Wife. Mm-hmm. There was a few years I did more than that. And then, you know, when the show was over, I thought it was ending, and so did she, although they were cooking up this sequel. She knew something about it. I knew nothing about it. So, you know, I thought I was saying goodbye to everybody, and then the next year I was back on the same stage in the same situation, and I said, okay, well, let's do more of this. But she's just remarkable. I love working with her, and it's you know, it's the longest in terms of time spent for me. It's the longest show I've been on. Not necessarily the amount of episodes, but it's going on. It's almost going on 10 years now that I've been playing that character.
And I have to imagine that the next season that'll be coming out, because it was involving you and Christine Baranski's character so much as far as national politics and the stories in the news. I have to say this: my mother is a lifelong liberal. I think you have her wanting to go to the shooting range. I'm just saying, not for nothing.
Well, you can have that effect. Yes.
Gary, it has been a pleasure, and as I mentioned, we've been talking to Gary Cole, and I, off the air, invited him in studio. If you ever have a chance, and if you would indulge us again, we'd love to have a conversation anytime your schedule allows. It has been delightful to speak with you.
Same here. I'll take you up on it.
All right. I appreciate it. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much, and congratulations on such a wonderful career, and we look forward to more.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.